Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you. God, we need you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for comforting our hearts, speaking to our hearts during worship. Thank you for confirming and answering questions even during worship, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you are Lord and you are King and you are the master of everything, God. God, there's no doubt that we love you, God. Help us to trust you, though. Help our trust and our love for you to line up and be equal. We thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord, let us live resurrected lives. Let us receive Christ into our heart. And let it change us like it did for Peter and Paul and John and James and Andrew and Mark and Thomas, God. Let the Holy Spirit be the game changer in our life like it did for them. We know it's the same God because it's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. The same God that saved them and rescued them and empowered them can do the same for us. If we submit, surrender, and depend on you, Lord. So we thank you in advance and we bless you. Speak to our hearts now. We open our hearts and minds to receive. Open our hearts and minds to receive what your word is speaking to us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's, Did I say Luke 24? Yeah. All right, so here we go. Let's pick it up at Luke 24 and 25. So Jesus has been resurrected. Let me get there. Jesus has been resurrected. He's already appeared to some of the disciples. And so they're going to tell the other ones. But here we are. I'm sorry. Pick it up at Luke 24 and 30, JL. And it came to pass as he sat at meat, Jesus is sitting with them and eating. He took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to them. So this is sort of like what he did at the Last Supper. Now he's resurrected and he's still eating and breaking bread with them. He's going to break bread with them later to make it known that he is them, that he is the Christ. We take communion once a month so we remember and never forget that Jesus Christ is the Christ. So here he is. He's breaking bread with them. Look what happened. Verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. So God opened their eyes. So one of my prayers, and if you're praying for someone, pray that God would open their eyes so they would know Jesus. Yes. Make a note. Pray that don't badger them. You don't have to scream at them. You don't have to get in arguments with people. Just pray that God will open their eyes and they would know Jesus. This says Jesus vanished out of their sight. And in verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you, when you get into this word and you're reading these scriptures, get into this word is nothing like it. Your heart will burn. He will open up your eyes to the scriptures. He will reveal things to you. It will change your life through the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. I encourage you for 5 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day, you have to open this word. And we've been working on the Proverbs for about 3 years. We read a proverb a day. Today is what, the 21st. So you read Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the channels of water, he turns it whithersoever he wants to. So, I mean, just reading that today, it lets you know that the king's heart or your boss's heart or that person on the job who's just stupid. Their heart, God's hand is on their heart. He could turn it any way he wants to. So you want to argue with them. You want to fight with them. You want to fuss with them. You don't have to. You pray that God would change their heart. God would turn it. God can turn it any way he wants to. When you don't get that promotion, you don't have to be upset with people. God just didn't turn that heart your way. That's Proverbs 21:1. Make a note of it. And as you read the Proverbs every day, I'm telling you, your heart will burn. The wisdom of God will transform your life and your mind. So if I don't get the promotion, if I don't get a contract, I don't get upset. God said, that's just not for you. Wow. It's not your time. You're not ready for it. You wouldn't handle it. You'll go there and they'll sabotage you and you'll be jacked up. God sees what we don't see. But when you don't read the word, then you don't know. JL, throw a Proverbs 21:1 so they'll see exactly what it's saying. And then we'll come back. So this is what every day I'm trying to get into God's word, not because it's a ritual, not because it's a religion, but because I need to know, God, I need some help with my life. Alfonso, I need help with my life. I'll be honest. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turns. See, stop arguing with people. Stop getting upset with people. Pray for your kids. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your parents. Pray for your boss. You don't have to lie and connive and manipulate for a contract or a deal because that's not God's way. But God, it says right there, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God turns it whichever way he wants to. If it's for you, God has it for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, let's go back to Luke. Luke 24. Now we get to 33. So he opened their eyes. They burned with the scriptures. Now they go meet with the other disciples. Verse 33. If you're there, say amen. 24:33. They rose up to the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen." Somebody underline that. The Lord is risen. Indeed. That's great news. That's the best news you could hear. And have appeared to Simon, which is Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Remember, he broke bread and said, "Oh, that's Jesus." He did to make himself known to them. We do it so we'll never forget what Christ has done for us. Verse 36, and as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Wow. Make a note, underline that. First thing Jesus told him was, "Peace be unto you." And I thought about that a lot. Why would Jesus tell him, "Peace be unto you"? And peace, when you break it into the, when you break it down to the Greek, peace, it means rest, it means quietness, it means harmony. You're free from rage, free from havoc, free from war. It means to calm down. The first thing Jesus came and told him was to calm down, rest. Stop stressing out. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. Why? Because Jesus, I got to read this, Kathy. So guess what I got to do? I got to read it. Okay. So because Jesus knows that we're stressed out about so much unimportant stuff. So right now, Jesus' word to you is to just calm down. Peace be unto you. Calm. And so what does it have to do with the resurrection? Everything. Because if Jesus resurrected, then why am I worried about anything?
All right. Come on now.
Why am I worried about all this unimportant stuff? If Jesus truly resurrected, all this stuff is secondary to Christ. Why am I worried about all this unimportant stuff? So the first thing he tells him, Brother Jeff, is to calm. Get some rest. Some of y'all need to start sleeping at night. Get some rest. Calm down. You got to stop staying up about all this unimportant stuff. It's killing you. And if the resurrection truly happened, then I can calm down. It's liberating, Brother Ivy. It's liberating to trust God. I calm. Y'all all stressed out. I'll calm down. Even on that 15-hour flight, I was trying to calm down. But they told us y'all got to fly into Russia. I was trying to calm down. I'm telling you, Sister Caraway, come on, Sister Hazel. We like, not Russia. Yeah, y'all going to Russia. Oh, my gosh. That's something I never saw before. I don't know if I want to see it again. Somebody say amen. But if Christ truly resurrected, then if I trust him. So we got to get into the trust. We're going to talk about trust in just a minute. Then you can live a calm, peaceful life. It's a lot going on. Somebody say amen. Amen. But if the word is true, if Christ is true, then we can rest in God and let God work out the details. Amen. And that's the beauty of the resurrection. If it's real, if you live a resurrected life, then you can calm down. But look what he says. He says, "Peace be unto you." Let me finish reading. Okay, let me see. Jesus knows that we're stressed out about so much unimportant stuff. Rest be unto you. Most people need to commit to Christ just so they can get some rest. Somebody say amen. And for nothing else, you need to commit your life to Christ just so you can rest and know that he got it covered. Most people are stressed out about stuff that has no eternal value at all. Family, only what we do for Christ will last, and the only thing we take to us to heaven is other people. Verse 37, but they were terrified and frightened. Make a note, Jesus can be in the midst of you, and you can still be terrified and frightened. It's your choice. Jesus could be right there, extending his hand, extending his help, extending his word. And you can choose to be stressed out, terrified, and frightened. It is a choice, family. It's a conscious choice to surrender and submit and trust God 100%. Most people are terrified of God because they think our relationship with God is merit-based. Like, if I do this, God's upset with me. Or if I don't do this, God is mad at me. That's the world. That's not God. Our relationship with God is grace-based. Make a note of that. It's grace-based. Grace is it's the loving favor of God. It's the sweetness of God. It's the kindness of God. Let me say it again. Grace is based on the love, the favor, the sweetness of God, the kindness of God, not the dirtiness of our sins and our transgressions. That's not what the relationship is based on. But we think we have to earn it. You could never earn it. We could never be so good that God would say, man, you're just great. And we could never be so good, so bad where God would say, I can't use you. So we were studying the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul, before his life was converted, he was persecuting and killing Christians. And you would think God could never use somebody like you. He used Paul to turn the world upside down. He can use you to turn the world upside down. It's not about you. It's about God working in you. It's about you surrendering to God and allowing God to work through you. It's amazing what God can do with a surrendered life. So we don't have to be terrified of God. We don't have to be frightened when we encounter God like they were. Verse 37, but they were terrified and frightened. Suppose that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, and I must ask you, why are you troubled? Paul's right there. Why are you troubled? I want to ask you that. And the word troubled in the Greek, it means why are you agitated, anxious, stressed out, perplexed, stirred up, and restless? You got to answer that yourself. Let me ask the question again. Just think about it, family. And I try and be transparent in here and real. You just got to pause. Why are you troubled? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe the word of God, you believe that God is working on your behalf, then I'm going to ask you, why are you troubled? What is it that you're still holding on to that you should have given to God a long time ago? What is it that you can't trust God with because you have to handle it? What is it you can't surrender to God because you got to stay in control of that aspect of your life? Jesus asked him, in our language, he'd be asking, why y'all tripping? Why are you tripping? And then he says, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And why that word thoughts in the Greek, why do doubts? Why are you doubting God? I know it's a tough journey, family. I know it's a tough journey to trust God with everything. I do know that. It's because we've been raised where we got to handle stuff. It's totally counterculture to say I got to surrender to God, not in an irresponsible way, but I got to trust God. I got to seek God. I got to pray to God. I got to stand on his word and believe that God is working it out. And I can't get in God's way by trying to manipulate something. And so he's asking, why are you doubting in your heart? The word doubt, why are you disputing and debating in your heart? Your heart is, we get our word, is cardia in the Greek, where we get the word cardiologist. But the heart in the Greek, it means more than just the physical. It means your physical. It's the center of everything. Everything that you are, it's your heart. That's why the word tells us to guard our heart. Because there's certain things you let into your heart, man. It gets into your physical. It gets in your mental, your spiritual. It talks about the intelligence, the seat of your appetites, the seat of your feelings and your emotions. I mean, the heart is it. That's why you got to guard that thing. You got to be careful who you talk to. Try and speak in your life. And then we always have to be careful what we listen to and what we watch, because it has a way of seeping into our heart and kind of having an influence on our actions. So I said, why are you troubled in everything that's in you? Why are you allowing this thing to trouble you? Verse 39, he says, behold, my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what the word is saying. Jesus Christ is resurrected. He's telling you, you can look. This is not a joke. This is not a hoax. This is real. Look. It says, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, if you see me have. So Jesus is telling them, it's really me. So I got another read this. So Sister Kathy, guess what I got to do? I got to read it. Family, what is troubling you this morning? Why are we stressed out? Why is it that we can't rest and trust God 100%? All right, here we go. It says, just like complaining, the root of worry and doubt is because you and I don't trust God 100%. Let me read that again. The reason I complain, the reason I worry, and the reason I doubt is because I know God is there and he's good and he's all knowing, but he can't handle this right. He can't. I know he created everything, but I got a situation now that he can't handle that. So I got to do all I can, and I got to stress and I got to worry, because I would give it to God, but this is too important to even give to God. He knows everything, but this right here, it's too important to give to God. I got to handle this one. So let me read it again. Just like complaining, the root of worry and doubt is because you and I don't trust God 100%. It has everything to do with the resurrection of Christ. Make another note. The first thing Jesus says unto his disciples is to rest, to be quiet. It also means harmony. Isn't that something? Just certain things, even in our house, that we got to trust to God so we can have rest and peace and harmony in our house. We got to trust our relationships. We have to give them to Christ as well. Verse 39, they recognize Jesus is trying to tell them, look at me. So it tells us that we will be able to recognize each other in our glorified bodies. Because the word says we will be like him. Make a note, family. Yes, we do know what happens after death. Here's the game changer. Jesus is the only person to live, die, resurrect, tell us what heaven and the kingdom of God is like and how to get there. Even when he raised the other ones in the Bible, they had to die again. Jesus did not die again. People, you got to be careful. People have out-of-body experiences. They die and they go and see a light and all that. Just be careful. I'm going with the Bible on this one. Jesus is the only one, because see, they still have to die again. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father. It amazes me. I'll talk to Christians and they'll ask me, you know, what happens? I wonder what happens after. You wonder what happens after death? Jesus already told us. Said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay, Pastor, make it plain. All right, let me make it as plain as I can. Okay, let me say it again. Jesus is the only person to live, die, resurrect, tell us what heaven and the kingdom of God is like and how to get there. But it comes back to the issue that we have in our church here for our visitors. We're working on it. God, I love you, and I'm trying to trust you. Yes. Amen. It's a situation where we love God and we're trying to trust him. We sing all these love songs to God during worship, and then when it's time to give, we say, God, I'm cool on you. And I've been pastor here. I'm in my seventh year, and you all know who's been here. We never play games, tricks, gimmicks for money. We'll never do that. That's between you and God. But I'm saying, if you love God, then you got to trust him. God asked for 10%. And you say, God, I need it. God is saying, I can do more with the 10 than you can do with the 90, but you got to trust me. But if you don't trust. So that's just one example. Anytime we say we love someone and we don't trust them, that's an abnormal relationship. I have the men, I've given them the assignment. They have it. They won't get back to me. I've been asking for years. I told the men, the husbands, I said, go home tonight. I'm going to ask you to do it again tonight. Get a quiet moment with your wife. You're watching TV, or in my case, Tracy and I will be watching The Lone Ranger or Rifleman or something like that. I'm going to hit the pause on the TV and say, honey, I've been meaning to tell you this. I love you, but I don't trust you. So men, try that, then tell me how that works next week. Okay? Brother Jeff, do that and then let me know how that works out for you next week. Okay? All right? Because see, there's something wrong with that relationship. And you and I, we have to see that there's something wrong with that relationship when we treat God like that. God says, you're going to be with me in paradise when you accept Christ, when you get authenticated with the Holy Spirit. Okay, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, this is what I'm talking about. JL, take us to Luke 23 and 39. Okay, let's take a quick look. Family, don't miss this. Don't miss this. What'd I say? 23 and 39. Two criminals being crucified with Christ. One of the criminals, verse 39, if you're there, say amen. One of the criminals which were hanged, that hang means he's hanging on the cross. It's not a noose, it's a cross. He railed on him. He blasphemed him. I wrote it down. He said, what did he tell him? Look at you. He defamed him. You aren't God. Look at you. Some God you are. You're a phony. You're a liar. You're a con. You're nothing. That's what he told him when they're standing, when they're all three of them are hanging there. Christ in the middle, one on each side. Verse 39. And one of the criminals which were hanged railed on him. If you be the Christ, save yourself and us. Come on, man. Knock it off, homie. So you look at that. I want to believe it. I don't want to. But if you go save, if you can, save yourself. And Jerry, don't forget to save me, too. Come on, man. You going to call me out my name and then ask me to help you out? Seriously? That's how we get down. Right. Okay. I get it, though. I mean, that's human nature, right? You can't do it. You can't really do it. You're not dad. You're not going to buy me a car. You're not going to buy me a car. Dad, you ain't going to buy me a car. Oh, you bought me a car. Oh, I didn't think he was going to. Anyway. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other one answered, rebuked him, checked him. Man, you need to shut up. I wouldn't tell you, don't say that to your coworkers when they start talking about Jesus. Don't do that. But he checked him, man, you need to shut up. He said, dost not thou fear God? Man, do you understand what's getting ready to happen? Dude, we're done. You're seeing that you're in the same judgment. You're getting ready to deal with the same thing. And indeed, we justy. justly. You know, we acted up. We are criminals, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. They knew Jesus did nothing wrong. But he had to die so we could be saved. So think about that. That's why we'll stand before God. There'll be no excuse. He didn't do anything. He died so we could be saved. So make a note. We got three things that happened. One rejected, one received, and one was rescued. So you got two options. You're going to reject Christ or you're going to receive Christ. But either way, you make the choice. You and I make the choice while we're alive. They had their final breath. One rejected and one received. Since we don't know when our last breath will come, we got to reject or receive consciously now. And then you live with your decision. And then you're going to die with your decision. And you're going to stand before God with your decision. But make sure you know that it's your decision. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. In that one word right there, Lord. I wrote it down. In the Greek, it's spelled K-U-R-I-O-S, curious. It means master. It means God. It means Messiah and supreme authority. Look what he said to him. He humbled himself. He's getting ready to die. He said, Master, God, Messiah, supreme authority. That's what that one word, Lord, means. That's why it's important to know what words. When you do your study and see this, the Greek, he said, remember me. He said, don't forget me when you come into your kingdom, when you come into your realm, your rule, and your royalty. My God. Look what Jesus said unto them. Jesus said, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, today, you shall be with me in paradise. So when we die, oh, I wonder what happens. Oh, man, we just go, it's just going to like a sleep and it's just like a dream. And we come back as a ant or a cow or something till we get it right. It's not happening like that. For those of us that are Christians that have accepted Jesus Christ into our heart as our Lord and Savior, man, today when you die, you transition right to paradise. Amen. We transition. We don't have to guess. But see, it comes down, do I trust God or do I want to take somebody else's word for it? With me, I'm going with the Bible on this one. You know, as a cat about 50, 60 years old, I'm going with the Bible on this one. I'm going with the word of God. I know, man, you've been around 60 years and you're smarter than the Bible. I get that, but I'm going with the Bible on this one. So he told Jesus to remember him. So make a note. God has not forgotten you. Make a note, family. God has not forgotten you and I. That's good news. Jesus told the criminal today. And when you look up today in the Greek, it means this very day. You come with me to paradise. Those of us are some of those. I went to a Catholic university. And they would teach purgatory, that you go into this holding place until you can pay so much to get out. But that's not biblical, because Jesus said today. He didn't say, now you're going to go here. And if you can get enough, you know, cook up enough dough, we can get you out. He didn't say that. Family, that's why we got to know the word. Got to study the word. We got to get with people who want to study and know the word and break it down so it's not taken out of context and used in a way that is not meant to be used. Exactly. He said today. Okay, he said this very day you will be with me in paradise. And paradise, in the Greek, the upper regions of heaven, a place of future happiness. Today you go on me to the regions of the upper heaven. Family, make a note of this. Notice what Christ didn't say. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Notice what Christ didn't say. He didn't say, man, you need to go get your life together first. He didn't tell him that. People will tell you, man, you can't come. And the devil will tell you, you can't go to church because you got to get your life together. That's not what Christ says. Christ says, come as you are. I love you too much to leave you like that. Come on, no. And I'll clean you up and send you out different. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, go get your life together. He didn't say, well, let me hear you speak in tongues. Well, man, you got to go get baptized. He didn't tell him that. He didn't tell him you need to do 5 Hail Marys and then come on. He didn't tell him to stop cussing. He didn't tell him to stop drinking. He didn't tell him to stop getting high. He said, today. See, we can't earn this thing. You think you got to get yourself cleaned up? No, you just have to come to Christ like you are. God does the cleaning up. This is a criminal. And he said, man, you got action today because you submitted yourself to God. You humbled yourself. You accepted Christ. You recognized who Christ was and you actually believed it. Said, today you would be in paradise. It takes us longer to forgive one another. Right. We're not God. We think that God's like us. Yeah, we do. I get it. Amen. Amen. We do. So if it was us, we would have said, man, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. No, I mean, you know, I just can't let you go. I just can't forgive you for that. See, God's not like that. When he was on the cross, it was and his 7 last sayings. The first out of the 7 was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's all about forgiveness. If you were to ask God what was the last sin you committed, he would tell you, I don't remember, because God doesn't hold on to that stuff. We do, but he doesn't. And that's not a license to sin and just live raggedy. It's not. Because then your life is jacked up. But you have to understand that God is not like us. And he told him that when you die, and he let us know, he let us in on it. When we die, when we transition, we go to paradise. That's why it's so important to preach the gospel, to preach the word, to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only person to live, die, resurrect, tell us what heaven was like and how to get there. Yes. That's what separates him from any other religion, any other false prophet. And people don't want to hear that. That it is an absolute, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else resurrected. Muhammad didn't resurrect. Isaiah, Paul, Moses, none of them resurrected. And when we take that trip in 2.5 years, Lord willing, if we're still here, I'm telling you, when you go and you step in that empty tomb, and when you see the Sea of Galilee where he walked on water, the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed and drops of blood came down from his head, and those things are still there. And see, I have an issue because I have to go and visit places like that. That's just me. Because I grew up in L.A. where everybody got a hustle. Everybody got a scheme and a gimmick and a trick. So that's me. I mean, I got issues like that because I know, oh, I see that a mile away. And see, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up as a Christian. I grew up believing in God. I didn't step foot in the church, so I was 21 in college. I got saved at 17. Didn't like Christians. I thought they were phony. People trying to talk to me about Christ, you might want to talk to him because I'm going to hurt your feelings. Because we would be at the park on Sunday, and I would come home and I would see cats leaving a liquor store in their suit. I'm going, really? So you went to church, now you go to the liquor store? Oh, I don't, I'm cool on all that. That's the biggest game in town. And then they would only publicize cats like Reverend Ike, who had his Cadillac and his jewelry and all this kind of stuff and looked just like the pimps in the neighborhood. So I was cool on all that. But when God touched my heart and saved me, that changed my life. See, we can't judge God based away upon man. And the games and the tricks and the gimmicks that man plays. So when I got the opportunity, I'm going to see for myself. Because God sends me back to the neighborhood to talk to guys that were just like me. And they, hey, Pastor, you know this? Slow down, bro. I went there. I was in Egypt with folks. And Christ has been in Egypt since the 4th century. St. Mark, make a note, St. Mark went to Egypt. When he took the gospel, he went to Egypt. Make a note that St. Thomas went to India, the southern tip of India, around Sri Lanka, where they just damaged those churches, because St. Thomas went there and planted a church, and the gospel is still there. Matthew went to Ethiopia and Armenia. John went to Asia, and the evidence is still there. See, so I go and I see those things. And so when I go and talk to people, I can talk more intelligently. So that's my issue. That's why I go. Why you go, I don't know, but that's why I go. Because we have to educate folks. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. They just don't know. They've been listening to cats who's hustling in games. They don't realize that God is real. Amen. And that Christ did resurrect. And they're going to die. We're all going to die. It's not a matter of if, it's when. We try not to think about the how. Somebody say amen. Want to think it's just like nice and I'm going to sleep. Wait, hey, Jesus, good to see you. Amen. Thank you. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And we don't want to think about the how right now. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we know when we wake up, we transition. It's a smooth transition. Because Jesus Christ, when he resurrected, he said, it's no more sting to death to the believers. No more. We don't get swallowed up in the grave. We transition right to paradise, just like the thief on the cross. All right, let me finish this up. Let's go back to 24 and 40. Make a note that in John, in the book of John, because the other thing that was out there, you know, the Bible's been tampered with and all that. Okay. I mean, any excuse to do for me not to change my life. I get that. But make a note and read this on your quiet time. The book of John, chapter 21, verse 25. And John tells, matter of fact, when we were on the trip, we went to the place where John was exiled, where he wrote the book of Revelation. It's called the Isle of Patmos. Had this dude in a cave. And they had the pillow outlined in the... Well, it wasn't a pillow, it was a rock. But they said that's where he laid his head. In a rock. In the cave. That was his pillow. It's like, okay. But we went there. But this is what John says in John 21:25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written, should be written. John said that Jesus did so many things that's not even written in the Bible, that if we start writing, the books would cover the world. So when people want to tell you that the Bible's been tampered with, you just let them know, man, if they wrote down everything that Jesus did, the world couldn't even handle it. This is eyewitness. This is what John, matter of fact, make a note, he's the only one that died a natural death. All the other ones were crucified or killed with the sword. They have a picture of Paul that they created at his church in Rome. They got his head being cut off. Paul got his head cut off because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. I'll show you. See me after church. I'll show you that picture, too. Why would somebody get their head cut off? For a lie. Why would Peter got crucified upside down. I have a picture of that too. It's kind of like engraved in the wall. Peter was crucified, stretched up, turned upside down. And you have to think that if this whole thing is a hoax, Peter knew it. Paul knew it. John knew it. James knew it. He got killed with the sword. And you say, you know, Pastor, people die for what they believe in all the time. I get that. But people don't die for a lie. That you know it's a lie. For those of us in here who was hanging out with the gangs and all that kind of stuff. I believe, man, the gang was, the hood was what was up. There was a time your head is screwed on backwards. Yeah, I die for the hood. Homie, you die for the hood? Yeah, I die for the hood. I believe it. But now you get older, you realize it was a lie. No, I'm not. I'm the first one to snitch, okay? It's only snitching when you don't tell them that you're going to tell. I'm telling them. Y'all do something, I'm telling. Don't do it with me because I'm not a snitch. I'm telling you, I'm telling. That stuff ain't real. Man, I know I'm not. My life is on a whole different level now. I'm not going to die for that. I ain't going to jail for that. I ain't getting caught up on nothing with that. Now, when you don't know, then you don't know. So Peter and Paul, these guys, they knew it was a lie. If it didn't happen, they knew it was a lie and they got killed. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. So much evidence that points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's overwhelming, family. All right, I got to stop. I got to cut this off. Okay, this is my first or second closing. Did I say happy resurrection day, happy Easter? Did I say I love y'all? All right, so verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? Can we eat something while y'all thinking about this? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Just make a note. We always got to build relationships with people. You can't stay in your Christian bubble. You got to get out. You got to live. You got to share the gospel. You got to be light. You got to be salt. You got to be love. Verse 44, and he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Jesus just went right to the word. But look at verse 45. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Pray that God would open your understanding. If you're a new Christian, if you haven't been reading the word, underline verse 45. Pray that he will open your understanding so you can understand the scriptures, and God will. He's done it for a lot of us. He said, you ask and you receive. You seek and you will find. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel right there. It's written. We don't want to hear that first part. He got to suffer. Sometimes we got to go through to get to the glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. I know I got several athletes in here. I know I played ball at LMU with Brother Jeff here. Man, nobody liked those practices. Nobody liked the weight room. Nobody liked the track. But in order for your game to be tight, you had to go through to get to the glory. So your game could be on top. Jeff actually played for the team. I got made it up to the last cut in 86. Jeff actually played on the team. I know Brother Jerry working out. Brother Q works out. You don't look like these guys look by just sitting around. You got to go through. And this is what Christ is saying in verse 46. You got to suffer in order to get to the glory. But he rose on that third day and that repentance and remission of sins. Here we go. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Underline all nations. God doesn't discriminate. Jesus Christ doesn't discriminate. Make a note of that. Jesus was the game changer when it came to non-discrimination. He broke all norms, racial and gender norms. In Revelation, it talks about all nations. Some of everybody will be in heaven. If you're racist, you will not be in heaven. Make a note of that. Because there's going to be some everybody in there. It is. Make a note, read Revelation 14:6. It talks about every tribe, every tongue, every kindred. Everybody's going to be there. If you're a racist, guess what? You probably won't be there. Unless you repent and change. Don't get caught up in that bondage. That's the devil's work. and all these oppressive systems, it gets us upset, but that's not God. That's Satan. So what do you mean, Pastor? I'm going to say this. I got too much to say this morning. He broke all gender norms. He met the woman at the well. She asked for a drink of water. He was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. Number one, he shouldn't have nothing to do with a woman, and especially the N-word Samaritan. We have nothing to do. He asked her for a drink of water. He worked with the disabled because he healed the blind and the crippled. Somebody say amen. Amen. He healed blind Bartholomew, and then he went to the house of a rich sinner. Said this guy was rich and he was a sinner. He allowed children to come and sit with him and talk with them. He allowed the lady who was caught up in all kind of sin to touch him. They said, man, if he knew what type of woman she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. Jesus, like, I don't get down like y'all hypocrites get down. The socioeconomics didn't faze Jesus. He affirmed the poor widow who only had two mites. It's not about the money. It was about her heart. Because the rich guys was just showing off. He said, man, she's done more than them. So we got to be careful with this. Stick to the word, because this world is hypocritical. It'll try and take you back to something you did in high school. Somebody say, oh, man, we don't even want to think about that. I already told you. Look, except for y'all in high school, we're gonna hold y'all accountable. If you've been out of high school 20 years, you get a pass. Somebody say amen. 10 years? How about those 10 years? No, that's too close, Jay. Nope. You get it. Nope. So they take you back to stuff that happened 20 years ago and try and say, you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. Okay, and I say, all right, look how hypocritical the society is. And I say, okay, you're looking for the perfect man. I got him. His name is Jesus. Amen. Didn't lie, didn't steal, didn't cheat, healed, delivered, set free, did all that. And you know, they say, oh, we don't want him either. Are you? Come on, family. Stick to the word. You can't get caught up with that. It's filled with mixed messages and plastic and shallow. They don't want a flawed man, but when you give them a perfect man, they don't want him either. Please make up your mind. Just want to be the world and deceive and distract. JL, take us to Acts 1. I'm finishing with this. Let me tell you the game changer. And for our visitors, I never finish a message. We always go into next week. I don't know what I'm going to do next week because will I finish this? I don't know what happened. I don't know. But anyway, after Christ resurrected, verse Acts 1 and 3, he showed himself alive after many passions and many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After Christ resurrected, he didn't just resurrect and leave. He resurrected. He was around for 40 days. Amen. And that's how the disciples got the message and turned the world upside down. A hoax don't last for 40 days. I know some of you used to get off of some of that real trippy stuff back in the day, but you didn't stay high for 40 days. Your high didn't last for 40 days. You came out of it eventually. And somebody say amen, because we're still here. Somebody say amen. But to imagine seeing Christ for 40 days, no, it was real. That's the game changer. Put a star by that verse. Underline and highlight, that's the game changer. For 40 days, he preached and told them, go save the world, turn it upside down. They might kill you because of what you're preaching, but remember, they killed me too. But you're going to transition and be with me in paradise. It's the game changer. Let's bow our heads. And worship team, I guess we could do Yahweh in 2 minutes and get out of here because it's late. Just bow your heads. I just want to pray. Lord, we... God, so much you've spoken to our hearts this morning. But God, we want to be clear that Jesus Christ resurrected on that third day and saved us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ into my heart. I've never surrendered and submitted to him. I didn't even think he was real. But God's touched my heart this morning, and I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and resurrected on that third day. If you want to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ today, elevate your hand. If you say, Pastor, I want to get saved today. I want to be sure that I have Christ in my heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I want to pray for you today. Let me see your hand if you say, Pastor, I want to get saved. I want to get rescued. Maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life. You say, Pastor, I've accepted Christ, but I've just kind of been out there. And I want to get it back together. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life. That's between you and God. Just in your heart. Ask God to forgive you. Forgive you of your sins. The word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the quietness of your heart, just ask God to forgive you. Reconnect. Remember, God isn't out to get you. God loves you. God died for you and I. Can rededicate right now. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've been looking for a church home and just somewhere I can just be and learn and grow in Christ. And I want to get a fresh start today and I want to join today. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We love you because there's none like you. Touch the heart of your people. Open the heart of your people, Lord. To accept you, to receive you, just like the thief did on the cross. And then to live for you like the disciples did. Thank you for forever and always being the same. Lord, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for not leaving us in darkness. Thank you for enlightening us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.